This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Wednesday, 27th of January 2016. I'm Davey McJimsey. Paddy's still on the injured reserve, so thanks again to Hitchy for hosting. Simon Kitchen joins us, and Aaron is back from riding the pine and straight in the first line action. We look back at a 4-point weekend, a professional closeout job in the Challenge Cup quarters, and throw an eye on the next three games v Fife, Nottingham and Sheffield. We're joined by one-third of the Legion of Doom line, Johnny Boxall, and we answer a host of fan agenda questions. If you want to get in touch, you can by email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, Twitter at AVFTB, get us on Facebook, look at our Instagram, SoundCloud for all the interviews, and we're always chatting on the soon-to-be-outlawed Periscope. Paddy back next week, so I got a little indulgent with my last intro. I hope you enjoy it. Hitchy, all yours.
Chance for Rutherford, takes a shot. Oh, it hit the cross. I think that might have hit the back bar. But the referee's right on the spot. And a fantastic effort there one time ever from David Rutherford. Rutherford now stepping in. Chance through the net. Backhand effort. Down the screw of the legs of Brian Stewart. Rutherford with another lovely pass into the path of Brandon Benedict. And the Giants got a power play goal with 20 seconds remaining on the too many men for a 1-1 tie. Rutherford now trying to get the move on him. Great speed coming through, puts the brakes on, steps inside. Backhand effort. Lift him over the top of Brian Stewart. Josh, I throws it towards the net. Traffic in front. Straight out to James Demarai. What a play from James Demarai. Wow! Comes off a shot from Mark Garside off the top of the glass, and James Demarai hits it home. Higgins, he steps out from front, he did chance, blocked the front, effort coming in, replay. Craig Peacock from in the circle to the left of Brian Stewart, and that's the Giants now with a 4-1 lead with Craig Peacock getting the goal. Beach has got a chance to jump ahead forward here. Chris Beach is coming through, showing great skill. Oh, Chris Beach's work, and he scores the empty net goal to make it 6-3, all created by Beecher.
Yeah, that was a good skate. That was just a class end-to-end for Beecher. Guy hanging all over him. Still manages to maintain puck control. Look at this.
The chance here for Darryl Lloyd stepping in. Lovely pass there, dude. Mike Forney, and Mike Forney puts it home on a shorthanded goal. Great play by Darryl Lloyd. 6-2, Stenline Belfast Giants.
And what a play by Darryl Lloyd. His shift was a great book. Two heavy hits. And the persistence pays off. The bouncing neutral and does a very smart thing.
So good evening and welcome to A View from the Bridge. I'm Mark Hitchcock and I am once again standing in for Patrick Smith, who's getting over a mild spot of jet lag after his trip to Canada. As always, I'm joined by Mr. David McJimsey. Good evening, David.
Hiya, Hitchy. Thanks for doing this again. Appreciate it, mate.
Not a problem. And also, back by popular demand so popular that Periscope crashed and burned, it's the one and only Simon Phone a Cab Kitchen.
Good evening, Hitchy. It's just deja vu, mate. Deja vu.
It seems to be. So, first and foremost, we're going to chat through the Coventry Blaze doubleheader at the weekend at the SSC Arena before we're joined by our young friend Aaron Kernahan. And on Friday night, in game one of the weekend, it was the Coventry Blaze who went ahead first and foremost in that fixture. A goal coming from Brendan Walker, cancelled out in the second period on the power play by Brandon Benedict. And coming first to you, Davey, it was a close, tight game at the SSE with the Giants winning on a penalty shootout, Rutherford grabbing that decisive shot and winner. But what was more important to you? Was it the result or was it the performance?
I think at this stage where we've gone through a bit of a difficult period and we're trying to turn things around, the result, the 2 points, is probably more important than the win. You always know what you're going to get with Coventry. They're, especially Chuck Webber, first night of the doubleheader, he's going to play it tight. He's a bit like the semi-final of the playoffs from last year. He's going to play it very tight, try and ride Stewart into overtime and the penalty shots and try and get the extra point, come away with the 2 points that way. It didn't work out for him that way. Stephen Murphy was able to turn aside everything in the shootout, and Rutherford come out with a great penalty shot to win it. But, you know, the Giants played... they played okay. We got a lot of shots on. We got a lot of possession in the offensive zone. We worked hard on Stewart. We just couldn't get past him. You have to give credit to the opposition that they played their system really well. They kept us to the outside. Most of the shots Stewart was seeing, you know, there was a couple there that probably deserved to go past him, and we probably deserved to win the game in regulation. But, you know, I think to answer your question, at this stage of the season and where we're at and where we're trying to get to, we just have to try, win ugly, and just find a way to win.
And picking one person out in particular, Simon, was David Rutherford. It was his first game as a Giant in the SSC Arena. How do you think he handled the occasion?
I thought he did very well. He just brings something a wee bit different. He can be prolific as with regards to point scoring. 36 and 34 games, I think it was, for Edinburgh, and picked up 4 assists in his first couple of games for us as well over the weekend and Manchester. But he brings that little bit of goal scoring opportunities. He also brings a bit of physicality as well. For somebody so small, he definitely puts the effort into it, and you can see he likes a bit of niggling as well.
Now, these games were monumental for the Giants after 2 very disappointing weekends of league action, the Steelers doubleheader and the trips to Nottingham and Cardiff. Davey, how important were the crowd in terms of getting behind the Giants this weekend? I mean, we saw a lot of clips on the webcasts of Boomerang Corner. There was a debut in there for a young Jasmine Kitchen as well. I mean, they played a huge part, a huge role, on Friday and Saturday.
It wasn't just Boomerang Corner at the weekend. Something that was really noticeable was just how much it has started to spread around the ring. Okay, it starts, you know, Boomerang Corner is the catalyst, and Joel Neal and all his gang, Allen up there, get the crowd going, but it spread. And for some reason, Brian Stewart has been a target this season, not just for, you know, Boomerang Corner, but the whole crowd now coming in. You know, it was before, it was going on in warm-up. He was getting the bird and warm-up from everyone, and you'll hear a bit of audio on the show here, you know, the Odyssey or the SSE was on Brian Stewart's back, especially on Saturday night, the second game of the weekend, and they got inside his head, and the Giants then got a lot of goals behind him. And that's the way the SSE needs to be. It needs to be a hostile place for opposition goaltenders, or just pick one player and try and get them off a game. Any little tiny advantage you can get, because there's so much parity in this league. Teams are so close, but the SSE was absolutely... Simon, despite being there, probably doesn't get as much of the atmosphere because he has those noise-cancelling headphones on, and when you've got them on, you can't hear what's going on. The atmosphere was absolutely brilliant on Friday and Saturday night.
I thought I actually was part of that for... when I was doing the webcast, but thanks for pointing that out, Davey.
What do you mean?
I was brilliant.
You were, Simon. It goes without saying. Actually, to give a bit of kudos to the webcast, Shane Johnson has been outstanding this season, and when you've had different stand-ins, it's been okay. Matt Nickerson added something. I'd much rather Matt Nickerson was on the ice for us, but he brings a level of humour. He obviously brings insight because he plays the game. He was disappointed he didn't get the fight with Vlahovic at the weekend.
He's very disappointed, yeah.
But the big man, he's taken the like a duck to water there on the webcast, and hopefully through his next few weeks while he's rehabbing, he'll be able to get behind the mic again and give a bit of crack.
Yeah, he absolutely loved it. I mean, I know I was ribbing him a bit on Twitter this week as well, and you know, he came into the on the Saturday evening. You would obviously ask them to come and do the game, and when he came in, he was like a, you know, he was like a child at Christmas time, and he was just so excited about, you know, getting on. He said, "What way do I do this? And when should I talk?" And I just said, "Talk whenever you want to. You know, it's." I says, "It's not TSN. You'll be all right." And then on Tuesday night, he was actually there before Shane Johnson was, wondering if Shane was coming. But, you know, I thought, you're 100% right, David. I thought he, you know, the way he came across and he liked a bit of banter, and there was a few of the Coventry fans ribbing us about, you know, maybe being a bit biased. But how can you not be biased when you're actually a fan of the club and you're a player of the club who's out injured? Just, as I say, I thought he did a great job.
Well, we moved on to the game on Saturday, and it was a little bit more comfortable for the Belfast Giants after that penalty shot victory on Friday. Goals from Lloyd, Raja, two from Demaray, Peacock and Beach. That was six goals for the Giants as they raced into a 2-0 lead in the first. Petrus Tanaka and another from Tanaka, who played because of the appeal to his suspension, with the three goals in return for the Blaze. And Sis, coming back to you first from this game, it was just more of a comprehensive victory and performance, wasn't it, from Belfast?
Yeah, I actually thought we controlled the game. I know, you know, we were 5-1 up at one stage, and then a little bit of sloppy play to let them. Tanaka scored a duo in the third period to get back into it a little bit. But then, you know, as I say, we just sort of stepped it up, and Beecher got the empty net goal. But I just thought we totally controlled the game on Saturday. You know, it's good to see James Demaray getting a couple of goals after having a quiet sort of January after being named player of the month for December. So I don't know if it's an omen if you named a player of the month that you have a bad month. So here's hoping Tyler Mosianko gets it this month.
Well, it's interesting to say about Demaray. We talked about Rutherford on the Friday night, and Davey, you know, Demaray's come in for some criticism, you may say quite harsh on social media from some quarters, but he was a standout, wasn't he, on Saturday night?
He was very good, and I think these are big boys. I think they'll take that criticism on board. Chris Beach, James Demaray, that line had really gone cold, I suppose, after being so hot. Him and Raja and Beecher together were absolutely flying at one stage through the Christmas period, and they really did cool off, you know, into the new year. But, you know, there seems to be a bit of life. Rutherford has came in, allowed us to play four lines, and just sparked the whole thing again, you know. Garce has gone back on D, and it gives us different options. And Demaray is deceptive, how, you know, for his age, how quick he is. He can hold the D-man off. He's very good changing hands on the stick and holding the D-man off and getting in. He likes to burr down on goaltenders and get in tight for shots. And, you know, we, as Sam said, we controlled the game. We came out well. We got a lead in the first period, and we'll go in the first period in the lead. We'll seldom, you know, cough that up. And even started the second period, we kept the foot on the gas. Craig Peacock's came up with a good goal again. That's two and two nights for him. He's starting to just light things up a wee bit. Confidence looks to be back there. But when you've got scoring from all four lines through the night and you're getting help from your D, you know that you're getting into a good place.
You just touched on Mark Garside there, Davey. Sorry for jumping in, Hitchy. I thought Garside was brilliant the weekend. And we actually, believe it or not, we missed him on Tuesday night against Manchester, even though, you know, the Tuesday night, which we'll come on to, with Aaron coming on board. I thought Mark Garside was brilliant the weekend. He just brings that something. He's very comfortable when he's got everybody else in front of him. So when you're basically playing a defensive position, whether it's left or right, doesn't matter. You can see a lot more of the ice in front of you when you're going towards their net. And he sees the ice very well. I mean, that goal he got for James Demaray was... You know, Brian Stewart thought he was winding up for a slap shot, and he just slapped past right across the front of the crease and touched him by Demaray. And you know, that's something maybe we didn't have back there, with the likes of Nickerson stepping out and being obviously a bit more physical. But fair play to Derek Walser for seeing that he could maybe step back with Mark Garside, and that could be something which could be very beneficial to us.
He's also getting a lot of ice time, and he hasn't gone back and just, you know, Walser's looking at him going, "Oh, I'll just put him out, you know, give him quick shifts to give everybody else." He's getting a lot. He was on the ice for 10 goals across the Manchester and Coventry, the two Coventry games, you know, so he's trusted with a lot of heavy workload. And he was the guy that sits between, you know, between Loiter and Keefe as their centre man. Johnny Boxall stepped in there and has been absolutely sensational on the draw as well, and that has given us the ability, the one third of that Legion of Doom, as Nicker called them on the website or on the webcast. You know, that line's flying. Garside, who, by the way, congratulations to Garsh on the birth of his child this week, from everyone at the podcast, young Logan there, a new addition to the family. But as you said, Simon, Garsh has went back there and looks like a D-man. He doesn't look like a forward who's playing D. You know, he actually looks, he steps out from behind the net very well. Okay, his position at times has been, he's jumped into a few plays, but which one of our D-men hasn't jumped into plays this season?
Well, there was a couple of incidents as well that I want to cover off with you guys. I'm very, very keen to get your thoughts. First and foremost, Sis, let's come to you. The Boris and Kiefer fight. Now, Boris had a full face guard on, didn't he, this weekend? He seems to have got a bit of an injury there. And he stepped up to the plate and tried to get his team fired up for that second fixture. I mean, you were sat with Nixon at the time, and who knows more about fighting than the big man. What's your take on that incident, and why the hell did Boris want to have a fight in that position and in that state?
Well, you know what, Nickerson just couldn't believe that Boris was taking the face mask off. He seen the Keith and Boris lining up as wingers, and I mean, if he listened to the webcast itself, he genuinely was shocked at that. And then when he took the helmet off, he realised that he was obviously going to scrap. And I think the only reason that Boris did it was to try and spark his team. And you know what? I just don't understand why nobody else had the balls. If anybody else had the balls to step up from Coventry to do that. Because you know what? It's the big man went up in my estimation then. Even though Adam Keefe was, you know, maybe a foot shorter than him with the skates on. And you know, he's a big, big man, but Kiefer definitely came out the better of that scrap. And again, if that doesn't fire you up as a player of the Belfast Giants, watching your captain give up that much size, I don't know what does.
I mean, just coming to you on that, Davey, I mean, it is a surprise because Coventry have got some other players within their roster capable of dropping the mitts. But they left it all to the big guy once again. And you just look at the blaze for the rest of the season and you think, if there's nobody else willing to step up to the plate in those kind of situations, how are they going to push forward and have a good end to the season?
There's a couple of ways to look at it. Vlahovic over Friday and the start of Saturday night was involved in a lot of, you know, after the whistle action, a lot of roughing, a lot of pushing Belfast Giants about. And that's came from, you know, Kiefer's got involved with him as well. And it's going to have been, look, if you're going to get involved in stuff like that, you're going to either have to answer the bell or somebody else has. And as Simon said, nobody else had the cojones to do it. You know, and fair play to Vlahovic for dropping the mask off and getting stuck in there for his team. I'd be embarrassed if I was one of his teammates to look at him in the locker room afterwards that he had to do it whenever somebody else should have stood up for him there.
I think it was Nicker was basically saying he thought he had a broken jaw, but after the game we found out it's an orbital bone. That had been damaged and that's why he's wearing a face mask. And do you know what? I mean, you get a dig in the cheek, and I've had a few. You know, if you get a dig in the cheek itself, that guy could have really damaged his eyesight, and he gave that up for his teammates.
Yeah, well,
and not one of them had the balls to back him up.
Funny you say, well, you do look like you've had a few in the head, right enough, but it wasn't Sean McMorrow, former Belfast Giant there during the week. He puts pretty much all his fights on Facebook, YouTube and stuff, and a guy fought him the other night and he was mic'd up and he had a really badly damaged eye from a fight the previous night, and they square up and the guy asked him for a fight. McMorrow's like, you're not going to fight, seriously, look at the state of your eye, I don't want to fight you, you're going to get really hurt. And the guy's, no, I've got to fight, I've got to do my job, it's my job. McMorrow says, okay, have a good one. And to be fair to McMorrow, when they square off, he grabs him and just pulls him down. He doesn't throw a punch, he doesn't want to hurt the guy. But he was on saying, you know, players have to stand up for their teammates, it's their job, but at times players are too hurt to do it, somebody else has to stand up. And the likes of Kevin Noble, he'll go out there and hack and whack and not answer the bell. That would frustrate the life out of me if I was the likes of Vlahovic, that I'm having to take a risk with my health and my future health. Look what's happened to Tyson Marsh, he hasn't been seen since he was clocked by Cam Janssen. It's a risky thing. And okay, Vlahovic's taken on a guy guts of a foot smaller than him, probably. He's probably given a lot of weight, but you know, credit to our captain for doing that as well. You know, when the likes of Nickers out, the load falls on Kiefer, and he's never ever been found wanting in a Belfast Giants jersey.
Well, one of the other things, Davey, that noticed, if you watch the highlights, or well, if you watch the highlights, if you watch the game fully back, when on the way off the ice, the Belfast Giants fans recognised Boris on the way off. You can see them clapping. You know, they weren't clapping Coventry, believe you me. They certainly weren't clapping Noble, because that guy is just a complete, well, don't even get me started on that. But, you know, they genuinely respected Barnes a hell of a lot more after that game than what they did beforehand.
Well, guys, we move on to the Manchester game very, very shortly. But I guess the last question to ask is what now for the Coventry Blaze? I mean, we will talk in depth about the Giants and moving forward in the league title race. But, I mean, can you see the Coventry Blaze failing to make the playoffs, or do you still think they've got enough to grab a top eight berth?
I think they've got enough. I do think they've got enough. And I think that's started by Brian Stewart. If that guy's on his game, he's potentially the best goalie in the league. He proved that last year in the playoffs. You know, he was outstanding towards the end of last season. And this is about the time that Coventry really went on a run last year to basically miss a push for the playoffs, sorry. But if he can backstop him to a few wins and obviously get the results coming in for them, and they've got a couple of big games coming up this weekend, but I think it's all going to depend on Brian Stewart and how he plays.
Davey, would you agree with that?
Very, very hard to argue with that. You know, on more nights than not, he gives the team at least a chance to win. You know, you go into Belfast on Friday night, he's give the Coventry Blaze a great chance to get 2 points. Okay, they've came away with a point from a difficult weekend. The Belfast never an easy place to come, even though we haven't been playing great. If they can be good at home, get goals at home and get behind, Brian Stewart will give them a chance to win on the road. I think they've got plenty in hand. I think that they'll finish probably in that sixth or seventh spot. I think they've got enough to make the playoffs. And then, as you've seen last year, if that goaltender, as Sam's already said as well, if that goaltender gets hot and all of a sudden they get a couple of guys scoring goals, they are still going to be a force to be reckoned with within the playoffs.
Another good player for Coventry that's impressed me this year is Jorgensen. You know, he goes about his business on the blue line very, very well. He's a good passer. He sees the ice very well. He plays a hell of a lot of minutes. But he's been one of the guys that stood out for me from the games that I've seen play against Coventry this year.
Well, post-game interviews are available from both games on our SoundCloud account, so make sure you check them out.
Hitchy, just wanted to say one thing. There was something we missed out the weekend, and it was the referees. The referees, for me, Dom Darnell did an absolutely brilliant job this weekend. I don't think he got a decision wrong. He took his time. If there was a decision to be made, he communicated with his linesman to make sure he got the right one, and I thought he was exceptional.
Can't argue with that. He's the best in the business in the UK, and it's good to seen a lot more over the last. I don't know whether it's something that has I'm only noticing or whether it has actually changed. They're getting a lot more help and asking for a lot more help from their linos. Linos seem to be involved in a lot more conversations around penalties, around incidents. Just and it's good to see that they're working as a team rather than someone taking all the decisions on their own and the linesmen are just calling offside. You know, it's good to see that they're really getting into teamwork there and they're coming up with making a better spectacle for the people that are paying in.
Well, you know, as I say, Darnell, I mean, he's been the best we've had for the last couple of seasons, and I mean, I know we're going on to talk about Tuesday night as well, and in fairness, I thought Dean Smith did a good job on Tuesday night as well, so I mean, we've been very critical of him this season, and obviously, you know, we'll give out a few taxi awards. We had to stop it because Dean Smith was winning every week for the Phone a Cab Taxi Awards, but, you know, it's one of those things where, as I say, they're people are quick to criticise, but he stood out for me this weekend, and I thought he did an excellent job.
Well, credit where it's due. I know one of you from the Bridge in the past, there's been high agenda items about referees who maybe haven't had the best performance at the SSE or on the road. And I guess I saw your tweet the other day, actually, Simon, where you said that Darnell had a great weekend. And it's the biggest compliment we can pay that we don't notice the referee, isn't it? So fair play to Tom Darnell and his liners that weekend. Following the games against the Coventry Blaze, the Belfast Giants were back in Challenge Cup mode on Tuesday. It was the visit of Manchester, which meant that an A View from the Bridge legend was back in town. No, not Neil Russell. He preferred to stay at home because he was busy, in inverted commas. I'm talking about Aaron Kernan. Hello, Aaron.
Hello. Glad to be back.
You sound it.
Yeah.
So the Giants went into the game, they were with a 3-goal lead, wasn't it, from the game in Altrincham the week before, the game that we periscoped for a bit. More about that later. And they ran out 6-2 victors on the night. Just, I'm not even going to do the maths. They smashed the Storm on aggregate. Goals from Peacock, Ganzak, Rutherford, Shields, Beach and Forney, cancelling out Phillips and Scarseller. There was glimmers of hope for the Storm, but it was the Belfast Giants that leapt to their semi-final berth. And starting with you, Arne, because you didn't see the games against Coventry, so this was your first experience of a Giants win in 2 or 3 weeks. How do you feel the Giants coped with the, you could say, pressure of already having a lead established?
Yeah, it was a pretty professional performance. You know, they went out and they got the early goal, which pretty much took the pressure off, I think. You know, had they gone behind early on, it might have been a different game, but got that early goal and just pushed on from there. Gave up another shorthanded goal, which tied it back at 1-1. A bit of a scrappy one, but really there was only one side in it, and you know, it probably could have been more than 6-2, to be perfectly honest. But I thought it was a fair result, and considering that we were short benched, you know, we were missing the coach. He missed out with an arm injury that he picked up at the weekend. Took the opportunity to watch the game from the bench. We missed Garsides. He was away. His wife is. Give birth at the weekend, so he was, or during the week, so he was away for, you know, doing his parental duties. So with a few changes, Garside had been back on D. Mike Forney replaced him playing shifts on D last night and did a good job and actually picked up a couple of points as well while playing back there. So yeah, I thought it was very, you know, it was a very professional performance all around, really.
Dave, I'm going to come to you next because I guess your observation skills when watching a game of hockey are arguably second to none. How do you think the Giants played? Did they play any differently with Walser behind the bench? He carried that injury, so he didn't play the game, and he was stood there in a suit. I think Nickerson was obsessing over his hair. How do you think the Giants changed, if at all, with him behind the bench rather than leading on the ice?
I don't think we played any different because we're a very structured team, and you'll hear the coach saying a lot, you'll hear players saying a lot in interviews this season about the system. And Walser's got a great system in place, whether he's on the ice or whether he's off. He was, I think we'll probably play his post-match interview. I'll not say exactly what he said, but you know, he alluded to that one of his first opportunities to watch the team, and he got, you know, he got caught puck watching a few times instead of, you know, calling out his lines or whatever, and he appreciated the players just jumped on and off when they needed to. As Aaron said there, it was professional. We had to play the likes of Mike Forney on D because Garsh, and Forney played well because Garsh was away, Walser's away, Nickerson's away. You know, we're at a point in the season that we're fortunate to have that midweek game where we had the cushion, and you know, that's 3 wins in a row now in the Odyssey where we haven't been playing very well this season. So that gives a bit of momentum. But I don't think we played particularly differently. We're still playing a pretty structured game, and we just took that structured game and got a lot of rubber on Kalemba again last night. But what we've done in the last 2 weeks, and it coincides, as we said in the earlier chat with Rutherford coming in, we're getting pucks on goaltenders and we're going in after them. And we're getting garbage goals and we're getting goals from in and around the blue paint now. We're getting secondary scoring opportunities and we're taking them.
Now, one of the incidents of the game, Simon, I'll come to you now, which I guess was a little bit of a surprise to some of us watching it, especially with the game being pretty much dead and done, was the headbutting incident, which is, of course, being reviewed by Dops of Rutherford on Deeds. What did you make of that incident, and what kind of repercussions do you think the Giants will see, in particular Rutherford, from that?
I mean, there was a big size difference in it, and, you know, Didi Mide obviously wanted a piece of David Rutherford. He was just trying to get a stick that had fallen onto the ground. It was right down in front of us. Dean Smith, the referee, was right there. And Didi Mide, in my opinion, maybe should have got a call before the incident, which caught Didi Mide's head with the helmet, or vice versa. So it's a bit of a disappointing one to pick up that in a game like that when, as you've already said, the game is basically over, and the potential of a suspension, which, you know, leads into Friday night's game against Fife. But I think it could have been avoided. That's probably the easiest way of looking at it. I mean, his helmet did make contact with Didi Mide, but it wasn't. I don't think he meant it, just because of the the size difference when he was basically coming up from trying to get a stick and has made contact with Didier Mede. So Dean Smith was a very good position. So he's called it. There's not a lot I can do about that after that.
Well, with the Giants...
Hedgie, before you go on, I'd like to comment on that as well. See, for me, Didier Mede was brought into Manchester to be that sandpaper, to be that rough, tough guy, and he hasn't done it. He just hasn't performed for Manchester. And even though they were, whatever they were down, 10 or 11 on aggregate, that is the time for him to prove to his bosses, I want to be here. I'm going to be that man for you. We've got games at the weekend, and I want to earn my ice time. I want to be the guy that you put on the ice in those situations. And Rutherford was, you know, to be fair to Rutherford, Rutherford was given as good as he was getting there. You know, Deej wasn't letting him pick a stick up or whatever. And Rutherford has been aggressive in that whole incident. Deej has done nothing. He's roughed a wee bit back. He has to be bigger. He has to be that big, strong guy in that situation. If it was rules reversed, I'd want the Belfast Giant to be ragdolling someone for doing what Rutherford did. Rutherford puts his head in. There's no question about that. And he'll face whatever Dops give him, and he'll take it like a man, and the club will do what we always do. We'll keep our counsel, and we'll just take the suspension on the chin and move on. Deeds has to be the fella there that goes, you know what, gloves down, I'm answering the call here. I'm going to answer the bell. Nobody's going to do that to me in an ice hockey match.
Yeah, Davey, have the chains been tied on Deeds with what's happened recently against Fife?
I wouldn't think so. I don't know, but, you know, Neil Russell... who we all know from this podcast for many years, foot in the throat, best foot forward, physicality, all that, all those buzzwords that coach loved. That's what he wants. That's why he brought Deeds in, to be that player for him, because they don't have another one on their team to do that. He was just specifically hired to do that job. He's a hired gun. Has he troubled the scorers this season? I don't think so. You know, he has to be that. If you're not troubling the scorers, you have to, and you're brought in to be that guy, you have to be that man, and he's not doing it.
Well, that's a good point, David. You know, to be honest, I watched it last night, watched it last week. I don't see what he brings to the table. I really don't. You know, he basically played last night and was invisible until that incident. I mean, he didn't, you know, there was a couple of times I had to obviously call his name because he basically played the puck out, but, you know, and obviously Shane Johnson was taking the mick out of me because of the way I was saying it, but I just don't see what he brings to the table. I've no idea what his wages are. I've no idea what package he's got in the Manchester Storm. But I'll tell you what, I just don't see why he's there.
So, looking at the Manchester Storm for the rest of the season, Arne, they're out of the cup now. They're struggling for a playoff berth. They've got to try and salvage something out of this. It's obviously their first season. They had a late start. As Neil has said many times, they had to do a whole summer's worth in 4.5 hours. So what is a realistic expectation for them for the remainder of this campaign?
I think they have a good chance to play spoiler. You know, I think they could be a team that will have a say in the outcome. On any given night, they could beat a Nottingham, a Sheffield, you know, ourselves. And I think they've got one or two surprise results in them that just might help shape the you know, where the league title ends up. If they didn't finish bottom, I think they'd be pretty happy with that.
One last comment on Manchester, and I'm going to just quickly come to you, Sirs. Now, we keep hearing these rumours every now and again that there could be a Manchester-Belfast swap in the future in terms of the conference system. I mean, that's a whole other debate for another day. Would it be in the best interests of the Manchester Storm? We'll talk at length another time about whether it's in the best interest of the Giants, but would it be better for the Storm in business sense and also playing sense for them to be playing more games against Sheffield, against Nottingham, Cardiff and Coventry rather than driving up and down to Scotland every other weekend?
It's a long, you know, it's a long bus trip. They've got a good bus from what I've been told, but, you know, driving up and down the road to Fife and Dundee and Edinburgh, Brayhead, it can be a long journey and, you know, they're more or less travelling every weekend as well. But, you know, it's a difficult one, you know. Would it even things up with Belfast against Brayhead and then the three other Scottish teams and then putting, obviously, the likes of Coventry and Manchester? I think Manchester have done a pretty good job this year. I really do. You know, there's some really, really good players. Kalemba is outstanding when he's on his game. He was average last night, in my opinion. You know, he made a couple of absolute wonder saves last week when we were standing behind the net that he was playing in the first and third period. And Davey and I and Hitchie, you were there too, and
And, you know, some of the saves they come off with last week were outstanding, but I do think they've got a good team, and I really like Paul Phillips on the day. Davey Phillips, depends what Davey Phillips turns up. You know, sometimes he's brilliant, other times he's average. You know, Berzinch, obviously he missed the game last week. He's a, I think he's got a bit of an injury as well, and whether or not he should be playing or not as well. But they've got a good team. It just sometimes the results don't go your way. We know all about this year, and obviously had our troubles last year. But for a team coming into the league first time, you know, it's only 6 months, 7 months old, I think they're doing all right.
I think just to jump in on the back of that, Hitchie, you know, I know Coach has a laugh and all, and we talk about budget and all, and not having the biggest budget, and because they didn't really know where to go in possibly in their first season, and going forward they'll pass, and Coach will have learnt a lot this season. It's been a very, very steep learning curve for them. They've got good players, as Simon said, but they don't have depth. They've got good size, they've got great speed, and they've got great skill, but only in small quantities. So next season, if they can afford a bit of a jump in budget, knowing that maybe being able to predict maybe what their crowds are going to be, what their income's going to be a little bit better for next season, is the conferences going to change? I think it would be a good thing for both parties, actually. But, you know, they'll be better set. I think they'll be a better hockey club and a better team in the 2016-17 season than they have been this season. And this hasn't been a bust for them by any means. They've had good results, but they just haven't had the depth of a roster to be able to put together, you know, a month of good results or 6 weeks of good results is what you need to, you know, be higher up a table.
I think that's fair enough. I think especially when those injuries around Christmas, you know, they were down at one point, I think, to three defensemen, you know, three fit defensemen. I think that was when they fell away out of the playoff place. So, yeah, I think that's fair enough as well.
Well, the Manchester Storm will now concentrate on their league campaign and aim for that playoff berth. The Belfast Giants are through to their semi-final. We don't know who against yet. That's in progress. We spoke to Derek Walser and Colin Shields post-game.
Bit of an interesting experience for you tonight. I think that's the first time you've probably watched a game from the bench this year.
It is the very first one, and a couple times I got lost. I got caught watching the play and not calling out my deep pairings, but the guys did a good job filling in the roles. But all in all, it's it's one of those things where I think Stewie does a great job with the forwards, and I didn't want to go in there and make mistakes. The game was important in the long run for the team to keep winning, and I just sat back and worked with the D and just try to see what it was like and get a feel for it, and looking forward for the day one day when I actually get to do the whole thing. But as of right now, Stewie's doing his job well, and let him run the bench as much as I could.
And I suppose it gave you a chance to get Jeff Mason back into the game, although we ended up, you know, with a few injuries back there on D, so we ended up with four again and the likes of Mike Forney dropping back.
Yeah, Forney was there. Like, Garch just had a baby, and it was one of those games. We had a 3-goal lead in the long run with myself out. I had Forney practice yesterday on D, that if Garch's baby did come, then I just decided, you know what, Forney's going to be great back there. He's a good, smart player, and decided to go that way. Just, you only get to have your first baby once, and I thought it was important for his wife and Gary to be there for a day or two together, and now we have tomorrow off, and so hopefully by Thursday he's back, his wife's home, everything's straightened away, and then we get him on the weekend.
And then it was a very professional performance out there. You know, we got an early goal, and that sort of made us fairly comfortable, but still had a job to do.
They have skill up front. Like, the bigger rink actually helps that team quite a bit for their forwards, so they have more space to be creative. And one of the things I thought we got away from was structure early on. We sort of looked lost, but it's one of those things, watching from a coach, I picked up on really early, and it's something that we're going to work on and practice here to make sure when we go to Fife that we nail it down, and when we play Nottingham that there's no mistake about it. The guys know exactly what we're doing and that we're all on the same page, and that was the biggest thing I noticed tonight, is I saw a couple of things we looked a little confused on.
And then looking forward to the weekend, we travel to Fife, then we have Nottingham coming across, potentially missing Dave Rutherford. He did match penalty tonight, so probably a few more changes needed to the lineup.
Yeah, we're going to have to, hopefully it's just a one game. It's disappointing because I didn't see the video yet. I'm hoping to see it, but it's sad that you can't review those one if it's a questionable call, because in my opinion, he was outmatched in the corner. All he was trying to do was get in tight so he couldn't take a big shot if there was gloves being dropped, and maybe accidentally his head, because in my opinion, I've been in that situation before. You just try to get in tight as quick as you can and not make sure you don't eat one in a hurry. And, you know, we wish we could review it, but we'll, you know, the league rules are league rules, and we'll just go to Fife, down a man, and figure out how to come through there.
And then in the Challenge Cup, looks like it'll probably be Cardiff in the semi-final, depending on the result of this, the second leg they've still to play. But you know, it'll be another challenge and another two games against a very strong team.
Yeah, it's, especially going in their little rank, it's a really big challenge. Hopefully it's changed over by then. I have no idea what the what the schedule is there, but we've played well there. You know, look at the scores. We had a chance to win both games, and I thought we played well enough there. We just got to come out with a little bit. Like I said, you go to Cardiff, you got to survive that first 8-9 minutes, and once you go through that, then it becomes a game again. And the last time we didn't do it, but we fought our way back, and then we shot ourselves in the foot on the fourth goal. But all in all, I thought we've competed well there. It's going to be a test, and you know, it's one of those things, you want to go in there feeling good. So let's hopefully get a couple more wins in a row here, and once we get to Cardiff, we'll worry about them and the challenge.
An important win tonight, and I think a very professional job done by the guys.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough in those games when you're down by a few goals. I mean, the other team is down by a few goals. Coming in, you don't want to give them any life or give them any power plays early or a chance to sort of get back in the series. And, you know, we got the first goal early, and unfortunately they got one back. But, you know, we maintained a three-goal lead and stuck with the game plan, got power play goal in the second, and just kept chipping away.
And we're a bit light on D there, so I think Mike Forney dropping back and a few other guys helping out there. So, you know, just showed the team really bought in tonight to helping everyone out.
Yeah, sometimes when you've got a forward playing D, you sometimes have to do a little bit, you know, more conscious defensively. But Mike did a great job, and last few games, Garside's been dropping back there. So, you know, everyone's been chipping in lately, and, you know, that's what it takes to win, especially when you're short-handed.
And for yourself, you know, you're back in the lineup after a bit of injury a few games back on the score sheet again tonight.
Yeah, it took a little bit to kind of get back into it. The first time I sort of came back from injury, maybe wasn't ready, and you know, kind of re-injured myself again. But sitting out the extra maybe 4 or 5 games after that, get back to 100%, and it's been feeling good lately, and kind of got my stride back a little bit. It was nice to get on the board tonight.
And then, of course, you know, always a fan favourite. Nice to see Andrew Dixon get a few minutes in the end and get a bit of a mini shutout.
Oh, yeah, he does a great job for us. You know, he's always there at practice and working hard, and, you know, takes a lot of heat from the boys and a lot of hard shots. You know, the boys kind of unleash on him in practice, so it's good for him to get in there and get a few minutes. And obviously, we came up with some big saves. He had some good chances in the third. You know, we were kind of sitting back a little bit, and the game is starting to open up, and he made some great saves.
Now, looking ahead, potentially Cardiff in the semi-final, I think, looking at sort of the result of the first leg, obviously they've still the second leg to play, but that'd be a good chance to renew a bit of rivalry there.
Yeah, it seems like the last few years we've played Cardiff in every competition all the time, so, you know, getting kind of familiar with them and the way they play, and I'm not sure what's going on with their new rank or it's an old rank, but, you know, we've seen them quite a few times, and we've, you know, won games here at home, and it'll be one of those things we're going to have to battle hard for, you know, like I say, 120 minutes, two full games, and they're not going to be any easy shifts out there, so it's going to be interesting. You know, obviously we have to wait and see that, you know, if they win their next leg, and we'll kind of go from there.
Looking forward to this weekend. We're back in action Saturday, I think, in Fife at home to Nam on Sunday. It looks like we may be, you know, another body down with Rutherford getting a match penalty tonight, so it's going to be another tough weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to be in with a chance to win anything, you have to have guys step up when the guys are out injured, and we've kind of done that most of the season. And another couple of big games. Fife's a team we've seen a couple of times this year, but we still, I think, have 4 league matches left against them. So they're, you know, they're playing well, especially on their rank. It's a tough place to go, hostile crowd, and you know, they play a gritty, tough game, and they put a lot of pucks on net, and they drive the net hard. So it's going to be a tough battle, not an easy one. And then obviously we've got Nottingham coming on Sunday, so we'll go to Fife and hopefully get a couple points there, and then we'll come back and worry about Nottingham then.
So now we're going to look around the league and see what's happening across the Elite Ice Hockey League. First and foremost, I've put it in here first because I'm a bit biased, Jason Hewitt had his testimonial this week. The most games played by an Elite Ice Hockey League player, 711 games. 711 games in the Elite League. That's a lot of Sweet Caroline and Cotton Eye Joe, isn't it? Dops, there was no action on Demaray and Zanetta of the Caps this week. We obviously have spoken about Rutherford, and we're waiting to see what happens on the review of that headbutt. The Brayhead Clan are on fire, a 7-win streak. And we've spoken about these guys many, many times. Davey, they are still surely the ones to watch. 7 in a row.
Yeah, well, 7 in a row in the league. I don't think they've won 7 in a row. And there's obviously the 2 Challenge Cup games in that. But I think that they are going to be the team to beat if they can continue to knock off the Gardner Conference games and take something from the cross-conference games against the Urquhart teams. I think they really are, unless the choke, and perhaps it's even more of an epic choke than it would be from last season, I think if anything they're better placed this season Especially with the quality in the Urquhart Conference, that I just think that those teams are going to take too many points off each other. I just really think it's Brayhead's to lose at this stage.
Moving on to the Cup games, both the Nottingham Panthers and the Cardiff Devils came through their second legs to secure a place in the semi-finals, meaning we have exactly the same semi-final lineup as last year. The Nottingham Panthers will be taking on the Sheffield Steelers, and the Belfast Giants will be taking on the current cup holders, the Cardiff Devils. And Aaron, last year, obviously, Cardiff came up trumps in that one and on their way to winning the final. And what's going to be the key for the Giants to get through that fixture?
I think it probably is going to partially depend on where the away legs played. Whether Ice Arena Wales is open by then could make a big difference. But I think that the key point will be coming out of, you know, getting a result in Cardiff, I think, and holding the game fair. You know, presuming the first legs over there, have they set the legs yet?
Not yet, no. I think there's one Sunday, the 7th of Feb, which both Cardiff and Belfast are free. I don't know why they're free, whether the arenas are available or whatever. But other than that, it's all midweek. And Simon, I guess for the Giants, the preference would be to get that second leg. And I believe they are entitled to that second leg, aren't they, because of virtue of winning their group?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, they get choice whether they want to home or away, first or second. But I think Aaron's right there. It's going to be a difficult game, and it really goes. I think it's going to depend on where or what score we get coming out of the first leg, if it is in Cardiff. If we can keep things tight and try and get back with a, even if it's a goal down, I still think we've got a chance at Belfast. If we, you know, there's with the Giants this year, you know, we all know that it hasn't been a fantastic home record, and you know, Derek Walls was already said in his interviews there with Aaron last night. You know, we've had some good results in Cardiff this year, but just been on the wrong end of them. But you know, there's been a couple of individual mistakes, and it's cost us goals. But the performance-wise, he's been happy with. So I think it's all going to come down to what team turns up on the night and being up to, you know, taking a bit of silverware this year, because you know it's one cup that you want to win. It doesn't make a difference what team you're playing in. You want to win that first cup of the season because it could give you a boost to basically push on for both the league and the playoffs.
And Davey, quick prediction from you. Same semis as last year. Who do you think is going to be facing off in that Challenge Cup final in Sheffield in early March?
I obviously hope that it'll be ourselves, and it wouldn't worry me in the slightest which of the other two teams got there. You're in a cup final, you're a one-off. I think we're as good as anybody, one-on-one, you know, on a given night. We're capable of beating anyone. They're right about Cardiff. We've been good in Cardiff this season. We were very unlucky there a few weeks ago, in so much as our performance, you know, merited more than we got out of the game. And we need Stephen Murphy to start being our best player. He's been exceptional this season at times. He's also had some very shaky nights. I need a little bit more consistency out of him in the big, big games. I think that's that'd be fair enough comments, is?
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Davey.
You know, I think that when we go to the big blue tent, in years past under, you know, Doug Christensen, Paul Eadie and so forth, we were absolutely dominant in the big blue tent. Stephen Murphy was just closed the door, just didn't allow anything. And we were able to go, and then our big players were our best players. That's what we need when we go to Cardiff in the semi-final of the Cup. We need our best players to be our best players. I know that's cliche, and we need our goaltender to be our best player on the night. And we have the ability, and we have the roster to go to Cardiff. We've done it many, many times in our history. We have the ability to go there and take a win, come back to the Odyssey, and see what happens in the second leg.
Well, of course, we'll wait and see for the fixtures to be announced for both of those semi-finals. And I guess whoever makes the final, it's sure to be a great game in Sheffield. Back into league play, there were four-point weekends for the Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers, who get alongside the Belfast Giants, of course, and the Brayhead Clan. So it looks now to be a four-horse race in the Elite League as we move into the final stretch with Dundee falling away. One last thing to quickly talk about is, and just to remind you all, because I'm sure you're all going to be travelling, playoff final tickets do go on sale this Monday. We've seen the pricing. You can make your own mind up of whether you find it value for money. Are the three of you boys all going to be in attendance?
I'll be there as usual, yeah. Subject to Belfast being there. Let's be honest. If I'll make a decision the weekend before, if the Giants qualify, which I hope they will, and they should, all things being equal, I'll be there.
I'm still not 100% sure yet. It depends on how the football season goes here in Belfast, or the split happens that first weekend. So I might have to miss the Saturday game and then just watch the chance in the final.
Yeah, I think I'll be over for the final as well. Apparently, I have a wedding or something to attend on the Saturday.
It's not your wedding, is it, mate?
Not this time, no.
Well, just a bit of an error there. I said 4-horse race. It's actually a 5-horse race. Dundee in 6 falling away. You can afford me one mistake. Now, we've got a couple more around the league items, but we're going to slip them into the fan agenda. And, guys, I'm going to kind of get you to help me along with this. We had unprecedented fan agenda questions coming through this week. Normally, it's 2 or 3, and we try and fill them out. But everyone decided to start typing on Twitter this week. Lots and lots of questions coming through. So starting with you, Davey, this question came from Michael Crawford, and he asks, do you think Walter will take himself out of more games and be a bench coach this year after last night's win?
No. He's carrying a knock. I don't think that it was an ideal situation. If Derek Walter was able to play last night, Mike Forney wouldn't have played on defence. You know, we're already Nickerson down, we're already Walter down, Garside down from last night. It wouldn't have been ideal for Walser to sit out. I think he might take the odd game. You know, last night was kind of almost as close to a dead rubber as you're going to get. So it gave him a good opportunity to look at things. But I think as soon as Derek Walser can get himself back on the ice and fit, he's one of the premium players in the league. He's one of the very best players in the Belfast Giants and the Elite League as a whole. So, you know, I know some people have said that, you know, he should be on the bench or whatever. We need a bench coach. For me, he's too valuable on the ice. So for me, he plays if he's available.
Anyone disagree with that?
No, go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I'd agree, although I think, you know, and he mentioned it in the interview that we played earlier, that he actually found some benefit in watching it, and he picked up on a couple of little things that he maybe wouldn't have picked up on while he was out on the ice or while he was rested on the bench between shifts. So, you know, that's given him a chance now to work on those before the weekend. So I think it's beneficial maybe from time to time for him to have a different view on it, but overall, you know, he's probably one of the top two defensemen in the league, along with Ben O'Connor.
Next question came in from Fee. I'm going to ask you this one, Sizz, and I think this is as a result of the Manchester game, judging by the tweets that were floating around on Tuesday. Do horns add to the atmosphere?
you're asking the wrong person. I have a set of headphones on, so I can't hear anything.
Aaron, do horns add to the atmosphere at games, or should they be banned?
They were very, very irritating last night, shall we say. But, you know, in moderation, anything in moderation is acceptable.
horns in moderation, Fiona. Horns in moderation. The next question comes to you, Davey. You might want to elaborate on this because I quite like my hometown team, so I don't want to upset anyone. But do you think the Steelers GM, now I don't think he is the GM, but I think we know who we're referring to, Mike O'Connor's comments on Twitter about the referee, should they be subject to DOPS?
Commercial manager, I believe he is for the Sheffield Steelers. And just to give a very, very short and succinct answer, yes. A club official, you know, what's the difference between the coach making disparaging comments about a referee, you know, to the media and being pulled up and being fined by Dopsford? Club officials shouldn't be able to do it either. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. He should be paying a fine, yes, but, you know, what does he do? Walk across the office and hand it to his boss? It's a pitiful situation.
Thank you, Christopher Bell, for the tweet, and also for tweeting straight after with no comment whatsoever, just hashtag TFA. The next question comes from James Trotman, and says, I'll throw this one to you, seeing as you vetoed the last one. Now the AIHL is into the final third, do you think the Giants will finish higher than fifth, or are we now seen as a mid-table team? That comes from James Trotman.
No, I don't think we're seen as a mid-table team. It's a difficult one. It hasn't been an ideal season so far, but still a long way to go. If we get to a certain stage, if I was Derek Walser, I'd be looking to see who you would prefer to play against in the playoffs. And, you know, if it was Nye, who would you prefer, Sheffield or Nottingham or Brayhead? You know, if you finish fifth, who you're going to get finishing fourth, and that's what I'd be looking at right now. You know, so if we in the next couple of weekends could be really, really vital, and if we can pick a couple of good points up this weekend, and obviously the rearrange game next Tuesday against Sheffield, then you're putting yourself in a really good position. But the games that you're playing against teams who are above you, vital.
The people, sorry, Hitchy, I'm doing this a lot tonight. The people,
that's fine, crack on.
The people really view us as a mid-table team. You know, what was it, 4 years ago, we run roughshod over the league, especially away from home with Doug Christensen, won the league. We go on with Paul Leary and absolutely ruin the league that season. We should have won the Challenge Cup, but blew it on penalty shots in Nottingham, and we lost in overtime the, you know, a game in which we dominated that Frank Doyle stole for the Sheffield Steelers. That season, you know, the Giants should really have done more damage than what they did. We had a down season last year where Thornton came in, Killer left, there was a lot of change at the club, and things didn't just work out on the ice with a very good team. That team should have done more damage than done this season. And this team is pretty well placed. We have lost crucial games at bad times over the last month or two, but we're by no means out of it. And, you know, to finish, say, fourth or fifth and be 3 points or 4 points off the top, okay, you finish mid-table, but, you know, you've got to look at the gap here. This is with we're by no means a mid-table team. I think it's very disparaging for a Belfast Giants fan, especially, to look at us and go, are we mid-table? Because no, we're not. We're right in the mix at the business end of the season.
Well, James Trotman came in with a second fan agenda, and I'm going to throw this one to Mr. Kernahan. Dicko, in his appearances so far this season, is proving a capable backup. Should he get more ice time in the remaining EIHL games?
No.
The next question also came from James Trotman. And Davey, I'm going to throw this one over to you because it's been a subject of contention, hasn't it, over the last few days. And it's about these super seats. I don't think they're laced with kryptonite, but should the Giants have communicated this better? Why no concessions? That's been amended. Davey, you can cover that off as well. In the land of the Giants, is not everyone equal?
I think that the club themselves have realised that the PR that was put out there and perhaps the way the things were communicated just by putting a screenshot up on the big screens at the Odyssey and going, here's the prices, and people are finding out for the first time when they're sitting in those seats that, my goodness, our tickets have gone up by whatever, they've gone up by quite a significant wage to sit in those super seats. Albeit that they've got sitting there for free upgrades this season with no complaints. I think the concession was the biggest issue, that people are maybe sitting there with children and it was going to be the same price. But look, the club has taken all the feedback that the fans have came, and the fans were pretty aggressive with their feedback this week, saying, you know, this is the way we see things here. We're being told, pay up or move. It's not acceptable. We've been sitting here for 15 years. I've made friends with the people we sit with. We'll come together to games, you know. We'll come as much for the social aspect at times. We'll have a drink together. We'll have a night out with our friends and we'll sit here. And people are very protective of their seats. And I was the same. Whenever I was a season ticket holder, I like to stand in the back row at door 21. People find places that they like to watch the games. I like to watch the games from height, standing. Some people like to sit down and be able where they can lick a plexiglass or whatever. You know, but the club have taken all that on board and they've came out today. They're phoning each individual season ticket holder. They're not just putting out a press release, so credit to them for doing that. They're picking the phone up and they're phoning each and every individual and giving them the option. There's now concessions in place. There's a lower price season ticket. Okay, it's a couple of £100 more to sit in that section, but for a family of four, £200 over 12 months. I know it's a rise in rent and all, but they are sitting centre ice in, you know, the super seats. I don't know. I haven't sat in them. I don't know how great it is. But if you go to the cinema, you know, you can go to the VIP cinema. You pay extra money to sit in a comfy seat. People do it. People want to pay to sit in the best place in the arena, in the best seats. So, you know, pay it or move. And I don't mean that in an aggressive way. But, like I asked, I had a bit of a ding-dong with Paul Trimble the weekend. And I think both things got out of hand, both sides. I was asking a question. Would it spoil your view that much if you had to move one block east or west of where you're sitting, or sit in exactly the same seat on the opposite side of the arena? Would it spoil? I sort of threw that question out, and I got a bit blasted for it, because maybe it came across as blasé because I'm not at the arena anymore. Because if I was, I would want to be standing at door 21 at the back, and I wouldn't want anybody to move me. You know, centre ice, that's where I like to stand. But the club have come out of this, hopefully with a bit of credit today. Credit to Brooksy, you know, he's picking the phone up and phoning each and every individual and trying to smooth this over. the offers are out there. Hopefully people will take them up. And the people that can't afford to take it up, hopefully they'll be accommodated another. Hopefully we'll not lose any season ticket holders over this, because apparently season tickets are flying out the door at the minute. We're doing really, really well. And, you know, credit the organisation for filling that barn. We thought it'd be a bad crowd, and it'll be the biggest crowd that watched the Challenge Cup semi-final or quarter-final this last 2 weeks. Over 3,000 on a cold, wet, windy Tuesday night in Belfast. Credit the organisation for that.
Well, please, please, please check out the official website, BelfastGiants.com. All the information about the super seats and indeed all the season ticket details for next season can be found there. Moving quickly on, Simon, I'll give this one to you. Leona McClintock asks, there are rumours of London Emperors joining the Elite League. Would it mean the Giants moving to the Gardner Conference? This is news to me.
It's news to me too. The article I seen in the media was the London Emperors possibly entering the KHL.
I've seen that as well, and I guess it's a very difficult one for us to answer at the moment, Leona, because it's all rumour mongering. But I suppose it goes back to what we were saying before, Sis, about the conferences and how things may change. I think it's more likely, as we were just discussing, that you'd swap with Manchester before we even consider more teams joining, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that that's the most likely scenario. That would, if it's anything going to change, that would be it. You know, with regards to the way you know, Brayhead have played the majority of their games against our conference now, and they're just against Dundee, Fife, Edinburgh, and Manchester left. So, you know, the likelihood is, you know, they've got a softer run in to a certain extent. But then again, you've got Fife, and you've got Dundee, and you've got Manchester, who are all trying to fight for a playoff spot. So it might not be as easy as what a lot of people are saying that it's going to be. But, you know, I think that the scenario of Belfast getting into swapping places with Manchester is probably the best scenario to come out of anything, if that was the case.
Well, let's quickly get through the final ones. There's a couple with a similar subject, and Arne, I'm going to come to you on these. The first one's from an incredible photographer, Jimmy Squeaker. He asks, could I periscope you guys doing the podcast, or will you ban me from listening to all other EIHL podcasts? EIHL gone overboard. And also one here from a guy called Patrick Smythe. I've never heard of him. Have the official EIHL been heavy-handed in their approach to periscope? Arne, do you want to cover this one off first and foremost?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I don't think Jimmy Squeaker would want to periscope us doing this podcast, considering the fact that I know that Davey does his in his boxer shorts. So, you know, I think going on to Paddy's point, yes, heavy-handed is right. You know, I think they have a fair point in that if someone is sitting at a game, periscoping the entire game, well, first of all, fair play to them for having the stamina to hold their phone for that long. But, you know, if someone's, you know, as we did in Manchester, where it's a couple of minutes here and there throughout a game, maybe at a key point, I think they're missing an opportunity to spread the game and publicize the game to people who maybe so I think coming out with a statement threatening to ban people for showing Periscope videos, or, you know, is going a little bit far. A more subtle communication saying, please don't do this, we have a policy, something along those lines, would have been a much better way to go about it.
Well, I'm not going to ask Simon about this because I know he's a recovering Periscope-aholic after his phone bill he had the other month. Davey, do you want to chip in and give your opinion on this?
Poorly worded press release, heart in its right place, but maybe executed poorly. I suppose, you know, Seth Bennett came out this morning and said it wasn't about protecting revenue, it was more about protecting the product. And I did have a phone call with Seth and talked through it, but I'm still not exactly 100% sure what he's talking about, to be honest. We might be better getting Seth on to try and explain this himself, because this has been blown up from within the teams. This hasn't just came, you know, Seth had this. Somebody's obviously came to Seth with this and saying it's a problem. There was obviously a periscope in that Seth has mentioned on Twitter today in Manchester at the weekend that allegedly had almost 1,000 viewers. But, you know, Manchester weren't running a webcast. I still don't believe that, you know, you look at, I've already said about our attendance last night. We had over 3,000 in attendance and we had a webcast. The webcast, and the Nottingham are still doing this, webcasts don't stop people who want to go to a game going to a game, and periscopes will not stop people who want to go to a game going to a game. If you can pick, people, I'm pretty sure no one is sitting watching an hour long game on Periscope. There's bits and pieces, and the likes of Take Back the City and Love Belfast and all those people use Periscope a lot. The Belfast Giants will embrace Periscope more and more. We're probably one of the most forward thinking, organisations when it comes to Periscope. Nobody's going to get kicked out of the SSE arena. I can guarantee you that for Periscope. And I'm not really sure how enforceable it is or why they want to enforce it. But as I say, it was a heavy-handed, badly written PR. I think that the best person to talk about this, it might be one of those things that it's all forgotten about tomorrow, but the best thing might be to get the media officer to come on and actually explain what it was that we're trying to achieve with the press release, because even after I've spoke to him and he articulated exactly what he was trying to say, but I just didn't really fully understand, and we're in a rushed conversation, so didn't really fully understand what the requirement was, because I don't see it as affecting anyone's product. Maybe they don't actually want to see, let people see the quality of the hockey in some of the Periscopes. But that's, just a bit tongue-in-cheek there. But maybe we ask Seth on would be the best idea.
Gents, I haven't read the press release yet. I've just looked at everybody jumping on Twitter and Facebook about it, saying what their thoughts are on it. I just think that the Elite League, whether it's Seth or whoever else is involved in that side of things, has to insist on every team having a webcast, because they have to give the option to everybody to watch the game if they can't make it. Now, Belfast, there are travelling supporters that travel across to Manchester, Nottingham, Sheffield, Fife, wherever they're going to. They spend a lot of money to travel to those games, and the reason they do that to Nottingham is because there's no webcast. And you basically do overnight stay to Nottingham from Belfast. You're not getting change out of at least £100. And that's, at this time of the year, it's a lot of putting that into the equation with regards to why Periscope's being used. As you said, Manchester didn't have a webcast the weekend. It doesn't really matter how many. I completely agree with you that I don't think watching a Periscope or watching a webcast is going to, if you want to go to the game, you're going to go to the game.
Says, I'll give you a quote from an anonymous source that I received today from within our organisation here. He doesn't want to go public at the moment with it. But so it's social media, not private media. Embrace it.
Ooh. Well, was that me that said that?
No, it wasn't you that said it.
Yeah, what? I said a very similar thing. My boss, William, at Phonocap, 90333, was asking about I was chatting today about the Periscope thing, because Hetsy's already alluded to it. I got a bit of a rollicking last month for my phone bill being so expensive at work. And he was saying that he'd seen mentions of on the Periscope being, you're not allowed to use it in the Elite League buildings now. And he was asking about it. So, he's never used it before. And he's got the same opinion as what you've already said, David. It is social media. It's not private media. Get it out there. Get it using, whether it's Facebook, Periscope, whatever you want to. Because you can now do the same as Periscope on Facebook if you've got that way the account set up. Downtown Radio have it, because they were going to do it last week.
Yeah, I mean, social media is developing so quickly that the press release is almost irrelevant because something else will supersede it. But
to come back on that about the Belfast Giants, we're Facebook, we're Twitter, we're Instagram, we're Snapchat, we're Periscoping as a club. They put out one advert on Twitter, I think it was, or the Facebook, offering a family deal for, I think it might be next Tuesday night's game. I think it's £35, four tickets, so two adults, two children. I think it's four popcorns, four drinks, and a bag of sweets. Fantastic offer. I think they've got 50 different, they've sold 50 packages of it already. 200 extra seats, one tweet or one Facebook post. That is the power of social media. We need to embrace it or we will fall behind.
Well, the next question came from Andrea. I'll cover this off because she's actually suggested something I suggested a long time ago, and I don't blame her for trying to steal my thunder. But she says, Andrea Cochran, could a system similar to NHL Game Center work in the IHL? Subscription fee with access to all games, but with obviously blackouts for Premier. And I say absolutely, it would be a dream come true, wouldn't it? And I think the majority of the webcasts across the league are now pretty good in terms of quality. The commentary is a bit hit and miss, aces, but the actual quality overall as a package is fantastic. So I think we need to embrace it, as the guys say. We need to do more of it, and we need to support it.
I'm doing it again.
Do it. Can we call this week's podcast, sorry to interrupt, Hitchy?
The only problem with that is how the revenue gets shared, because, you know, there might be more people wanting to buy a Nottingham versus, you know, how's that revenue shared? Is it, if I subscribe to Game Center Live, EIHL Game Center Live, and it costs me £100, does £10 go to each team? And if I, you know, don't want to watch the Edinburgh games, their home games, you know, is the revenue just shared equally amongst all 10 teams?
I think so, yeah, because I think if it was anything like the NHL one, you'd still tap into that for full game highlights or whatever, and you'd still watch all the Giants games over in Edinburgh. You'd probably, if the Giants weren't playing on a Sunday but they were playing a title competitor, I'm sure you'd still watch it. I think it would even out.
I just think there'd be something else to argue about, because you'd have 1,000 Nottingham Panthers fans subscribing, 1,000 Steelers fans, 1,000 Belfast Giants, 30 Edinburgh fans, and then you'd have people go, well, why should you get a 10% share of this when you've got 2% of the viewers?
Well, you can easily measure which games are being watched, and that revenue can go to the home team, and it could still work. And people will still do pay-per-view. So people will still... You have various channels. I'm going to go talk about wrestling, but you can pay for a £10 a month wrestling channel now, or you can pay £40 once a year to watch WrestleMania. So you still pick which games you want to watch, and yeah, somebody might have some housewife might be alone on one Saturday night, husband might be out with his mates, and she might think, I'll tune into Sizz. She might not want to sign into the full year's package. So I think you've got to have both options open, but a lot to think about, and I think it really, really could work. I'm boxing that off before you interrupt me again, Davey. And the last one says, I'll just chuck at you very, very quickly. In my opinion, Giants have been hurting all season for not signing a British D-man. Should that have been a priority? That's from Jonathan McCulloch.
No, it shouldn't be. You know, the decisions are made by the coaching staff and the obviously the head of hockey operations. And, you know, the reason that we've brought in... you know, if you look at our Brit line, that's up, you know, the forwards, they've got Shields, Peacock, Garside. There you go, he's playing defence. But, you know, I just think that the way we've set the team up this year, again, if we can get going, it will be absolutely fine. But again, suspensions, injuries, our discipline this year hasn't been fantastic. But and it's disappointing that, you know, when you seem to be literally picking things up, something else jumps in your way, and you might have an Irish suspension on Friday night as well. But no, I don't think it makes a big difference.
Well, thank you very, very much to everybody for your fan agenda questions. Tons this week. And I'm going to ask Paddy, actually, let's introduce a rule. You're not allowed three. James Trotman, you've had your day. So now we're going to look at the upcoming games this weekend. Simon's going to be in Tenerife, but the rest of us will be checking out the games on Saturday night. The Belfast Giants will get the Stenline Ferry, I should imagine, over to Fife to play the Fife Flyers. Arne, big chance to keep that momentum ticking along in the league.
It is, and it's a game that absolutely we have to win. But it's never easy going into Fife. You know, it's a unique little arena with a pretty hostile atmosphere for opposition team and fans. But, you know, this is the game. It'll be interesting. I presume we're going to be missing Rutherford because I think that a one match suspension can't be appealed anyway. So I think he's going to have to miss this game anyway, which means that, again, the lineup's going to have to change. We're going to have to play an extra, you know, another import down as well. So we're going to have to make changes and we're going to have to adjust. But I think if we go in there, we're professional as we were last night against Manchester, we can come out with the result that we need.
I mean, Davey, it's almost one of these games that you can see the potential banana skin. The two fantastic wins against Coventry, the semi-final berth, the games on the horizon after it are arguably more difficult regardless of the fact that they're at home. they've just got to focus. They've really got to focus on this, and I guess not even think about Nottingham or Sheffield.
No, hockey players are pretty good at focusing one game at a time, one shift at a time almost, is the way we've got to play these games at the minute. David Brown's a very good goaltender for Fife, and they've got good scoring the likes of Dingle and Fox and Keogh, but we'll need to go in the Fife and come away with 2 points and just win ugly if we have to. As Simon said right at the top of the show, you know, find a way to win. That's what we've got to do at the minute. We talked last weekend about our last week's shows about drinking in the Last Chance Saloon, and we had to take the two wins against Coventry, and we've done that. And now we've, you know, with the two Challenge Cup games against Manchester, we've won four in a row. We've a bit of momentum. Okay, injuries and suspensions could hamper us this weekend. Kirkcaldy's a difficult place to go to, but this is just one that we just have to find a way to win this and get back to the SSE on Sunday and worry about Nottingham then.
Well, on Sunday, the Belfast Giants do face the old enemy, as the Giants fans like to refer to them, the Nottingham Panthers. One guy that they saved from Nottingham over the summer was the Ginger Jesus himself. Hallelujah. It's Jonathan Boxhill. He spoke earlier to Arm.
Okay, and I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Giants forward Jonathan Boxhill. Boxy, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem at all.
Well, I suppose the best way to start, we're about halfway through the season, or a bit beyond halfway through the season, looking into the home stretch now. How have you found this first season in Belfast so far?
Yeah, it's been a very, very easy place to join and be happy to play here, and you know, we're very, very lucky with what we have in regards to facilities and everything we get away from the ice, and the whole experience is fantastic. So I couldn't be happier to be here.
And sort of looking back over your career, you took a bit of a circuitous route to Belfast. You started off in your junior career in Swindon, then you went across to the USA. You played some NCAA, then back to Nottingham, then a stint in Australia. So, you know, the sport of hockey's given you some great opportunities to travel.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're all blessed with. If you speak to some of the guys, we've all been very fortunate to, gain a bit of culture through the sport, which I think is a fantastic opportunity. And, the opportunity came about to go to the States and go to school over there, which was my dream from a very young age, and I did that. And I always kind of had aspirations to come back and play in the UK, and obviously I got the chance with Nottingham there for 2 years, which was a great development in my career, and I'll be eternally grateful for the opportunity that Corey gave me there and the development he went through with me there to make me the player I am today. So, you know, that was good, and to be here in Belfast now as kind of a bit more of a well-rounded professional and a bit more experienced, I'm just happy to be here.
And sort of looking at your time in Nottingham, say you spent 2 years there and you're now over in Belfast, are there many similarities or differences between the way the two organizations are set up that stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first thing that's most important is both teams and both organizations expect to win, and that's a healthy environment that any athlete wants to be in. And it's really something that was the main reason for me going to staying in what I kind of consider as the big clubs in British ice hockey is I want to win a championship. My big thing before I retire is to win a league championship, and I feel like Belfast is a good place to get that done. So that was it. They're both two very well respected clubs, obviously, with very good tradition and rich history, but. Yes, there's obviously a lot of similarities, but there's some very noticeable differences between both clubs for good reasons, and that's what makes the league a healthy competition. So yes, I'm glad that I've got to experience both places for sure.
You sort of touched upon there one of your ambitions being to win a league title. Looking at the Elite League this season, you know, it's been a very, I suppose, strange league. Teams that you wouldn't expect to win some games, able to win a lot more. Been very, very tight at the top. The Giants, ourselves, we had a good win streak over Christmas, and then followed that up with sort of, I think it was a 4-game loss streak. How do you see the rest of the season pan out? Do you think we've still got a chance to claim that title this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you had said that Sheffield were going to win it last year over Braehead around this time, I don't think anyone would have believed you. But obviously, they did what they did and went on to win the league. So it's just so unpredictable. When it's one of those things, you really can't. I mean, a few years ago, I know other teams pretty much whenever you finish a game, the first thing you do is go and look at other results. But the way things are going now, you literally can't rely on other teams. You have to just worry about yourself, and I think that's healthy for the league. It shows that it's become a lot more competitive. But on a personal note, I think we're still in a pretty decent position here, and we've obviously won four in a row, and that's good. And obviously that skid didn't help with losing those four huge games, but it's all about confidence, and right now we are a very confident team, so hopefully we can keep that momentum going down the road.
And then, that four-game win streak, two of them have been the Challenge Cup quarterfinal games against Manchester. So, what a good win last night. A very professional job, I thought, by the guys, playing short benched with a few injuries and Mark Garside off, attending the birth of his first child and so on. So, I mean, the Challenge Cup's another opportunity there. Looks like we're going to be playing Cardiff in the semi-finals. How do you see that maybe panning out? It's a good battle between the two sides.
Yeah, it's always... Those games are always interesting against Cardiff, for sure. They've, what Todd Kelman's done there with that organisation is quite remarkable, actually. And they've obviously got a very, very quality team this year, and that's proven with some of the wins they put together. But it's going to be interesting. I think the thing that we're most curious at this point is where the game's going to be played. If it's going to be in the new rink or the old Big Blue Fen, because that when they play in that. In that facility, it is a huge advantage for them as a team. So it's going to be interesting where the game itself is played. But those are things that we can't really control. We just worry about ourselves. And I think we certainly are capable to come away from that and move on to the next round. So hopefully we can do that and continue our road towards the Challenge Cup.
And then, of course, looking at the other semi-final, it's probably going to be Nottingham-Sheffield, so a potential final there. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but potential final against an old side for you as well, which add a bit of extra spice.
Yeah, that would certainly be that'd be an interesting experience for me. But I was fortunate enough to be involved in winning the Challenge Cup my first year in the league, which was a great experience. And in my personal opinion, I don't think the Challenge Cup gets the recognition that it deserves. It's actually numerically a tougher trophy to win in the playoffs, and it's something that winning a championship wherever you are is important. So I think that winning the Challenge Cup is definitely a goal for everyone involved in the Belfast Giants this year.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because I noticed around social media today there was a lot of debate going on about the importance or not of the Challenge Cup. So it's nice to hear that the players rate it so highly as well.
Oh yeah, it's not an easy thing to win. So anytime you win a trophy, it's something that you're very proud of. And I know personally, for me, it's something that I'm very happy with, that I have that on my sort of hockey resume, that I won that my first year. So I'm very happy to have that there. But winning the playoffs is always going to be the pinnacle, especially in regards to North Americans. So, any league around the world, you win the playoffs, that's it's the last game of the year, and that's how a lot of guys want to finish the season. So, just winning trophies is the most important thing.
And then, another thing that's sort of come up in the last couple of years of your career, you made your first appearance, I think, last season at the end of the year in the World Championships for GB, and you've been selected again for the upcoming Olympic qualifiers. That must be something you're very proud of.
Yeah, it's any time you get to represent your country, it's a huge honour. And to go away with the team last year and to be selected was something that, it was on my sort of to-do list of the things I wanted to do in my hockey career, and I'm proud that I was able to do that and win a silver medal. Obviously, it was unfortunate the way things ended there. I think we definitely deserved to, finish the job and win the gold medal, but to do what we did with the resources that we have for the national team and the amount of time that we get together before we go away just shows the quality of British hockey that's kind of going through a bit of a tough time right now in regards to the import quotas going up, etc. So it just shows that the determination of those guys that are still involved at a high level and how we want to move the sport forward, and that's a good sign. But the Olympic qualifiers would be a fantastic opportunity. I was watching skiing on TV the other day, and I saw Cortina, and it looked sunny and a good amount of snow, so I'm looking forward to that for sure.
So you're heading over to Italy, to Cortina, as you say there, where you face up against Italy, Serbia and the Netherlands. So the Netherlands were a team that I think you faced in those World Championships last year. I guess obviously the goal there is to win that group and get through to the next qualifying round. You think that's a possibility?
I definitely think it's a possibility. We certainly are going there with the intention of doing that. And we you know, at this stage and where we are as a team, I think it's not only a realistic goal, it is the goal to go away and, you know, do what we have to do and make it through to the next round. So I know everyone involved in the national team program through coaches and management, and Andy Buxton has done a wonderful job so far organizing everything to make sure that we've got the best quality, whether in regards to flights and organization, et cetera, has just been first class. So we're all looking forward to getting over there and getting the tournament started.
And then looking back then, just to finish off here, looking back to this weekend, you know, the Giants face a trip over to Fife on Saturday, I think, and then home to Nottingham on Sunday. Getting back to league action after the Challenge Cup, you know, it'll be two very important games. Always difficult to go into Fife.
Yeah, we haven't played Fife in quite a while, especially in Fife. It feels like it's been forever since we've been there. It's actually one of my, for atmosphere-wise, one of my favourite places to play in the league. I think they do, you know, job with, it's kind of an old school environment there, but they play hard. It's an old school kind of game when you play in Fife, so I'm looking forward to that. And once again, they've improved dramatically from last year. They've brought in some quality imports and some of the local guys that are playing have stepped up to slightly bigger roles, which is good to see. So it's all credit to them. They've put a good team out there this year, and we're looking forward to going over there and hopefully having a good game, coming away with a win, then stepping out on Sunday against Nottingham, which is a huge game for us. I don't think we need to, hype that up any more than it needs to be. So we know what we have to do in regards to that game.
And just a really final point. I mean, the Odyssey this year, I think, or sorry, the SSE Arena.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'll get in trouble for that one. the Boomerang Corner there especially, they've really upped the ante and getting behind the team and really boosted the, you know, trying to boost the atmosphere in our home rink as well. You know, have the guys picked up on that?
Yeah, some guys have been actually blown away with it. I mean, obviously, the UK itself kind of has a reputation in regards to how passionate fans are and from football and rugby and all those kind of sports. But to see it emulate and get its, you know, make its way into the sport of ice hockey, which, let's be honest, is a relatively minority sport in over here. It's fantastic to see. They're just so passionate, and some guys have said that's the best support they've ever seen in their careers. And the thing when you come up after a game, win or lose, and you go up to McCall's and they're all up there and they're all happy and so passionate for the team, which is just fantastic to see. So no, all credit to them. And it doesn't go unnoticed. You know, when we're doing a lap of honour at the end of the game, you know, they certainly deserve, you know, all the credit that they get. So, we look forward to hearing them on Sunday for sure. But no, they've been fantastic. And on the personal level, I don't know if we can talk about the chants, which I hear sometimes, but those do make me smile. So hopefully they'll continue as well.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how politically correct some of them are.
But... Yeah, exactly. So we'll move on from that, yeah.
So thank you to Jonathan Boxhill for his time. Big game, Sizz. Obviously, all the attention is on Fife, but Sunday and Tuesday, I suppose, even more importantly, and we'll bring the Steelers into this conversation a little bit, four-pointers, aren't they, in the race for the championship?
Yeah, they are. Obviously, we play Fife on the Friday night, and Nottingham, I believe, have got a tough game at home against the Cardiff Devils. So, you know, that could be a big part of this weekend as well. Hopefully, you know, Cardiff go in and do what they do and bang bodies and finish every single hit against the Nottingham Panthers on Saturday evening. So they're coming into Belfast and come back with, you know, the doubleheader two games in 2 days, which can be very tough. But again, Davey's already alluded to it. You know, we can beat anybody on any given day. The boys will be disappointed with some of the performances they've had recently. We're on a winning streak at the minute, you know what I mean? So we've got four games in a row. We've won 2 Challenge Cup and 2 League. And hopefully we can go into this weekend a bit more confident than we had been before the game against Manchester last Wednesday night.
Well, Davey, Nottingham, for you personally, I know that the team you want to beat more than any other in the world. what's the key to breaking them down? Because they're in a bit of a high spot themselves with the cup semi and a bit of league form under their belts and the very recent victory against you in the NIC.
Oh, it's a very, very good question, and one that I'm sure Derek Walser and Steve Thornton and Adam Keefe and Brandon Benedict and Shane Johnson will be, you know, working out on the drawing board this week. They're a high scoring team. You've got to limit their goals, their good goal scoring opportunities. You've got to try and keep them to the outside. You've got to try and get, you're not going to get an awful lot on the likes of Madalora. So when your opportunities come along, you've got to be clinical. You can't be shooting and hitting the plexi all the time. You've got to be making the goaltender work, and you've got to go and be dirty and get in there and get secondary goal scoring opportunities. And you've got to stop. We've got to stop giving away shorthanded opportunities, 2-on-1s, 1-on-1s, and all that sort of thing. We're too loose at times. Simon will always, you listen to him. You listen to him on the webcast all the time. When the D-man goes in, we have to have that responsible forward that stays third man high to give our defence cover, because this team can break and break with speed and punish you. They've got goal scorers, Kulnick, Ling, Clark. All these guys score goals and create goals. We said Lagovic was having a bad time. He comes up with an unassisted shorthanded goal against us. You know, goes the length of the ice and scores against us. We have to be very, very disciplined in defence, because this team can outscore you on any night. So I think that's going to be the key. I don't know whether Aaron has a different opinion on it.
No, I think, you know, I think this every game this season between the two teams has been close, and I think pretty much everyone's been decided by one goal. So, you know, I think, again, it's going to be tight. And personally, I think we need to get ahead early and try and hold on from there.
Well, it's almost impossible to try and predict what will happen next Tuesday night, because there's two big games for both clubs between now and then. It's the game that was rescheduled. I can't remember why it was rescheduled, but it's the game that was rescheduled against the Sheffield Steelers. Somebody will probably remind me why it was rescheduled. I can't remember. Simon, it's probably the hardest of the three games. And after the doubleheader very recently, which the Steelers came away with, the Giants are going to be absolutely desperate to get their revenge, aren't they, at home and split the series at home against the Sheffield Steelers?
Yeah, well, I mean, the most important game at the minute is Fife on Friday night, but leading into, you know, Saturday night, Nottingham and against us on Sunday, and then Sheffield, you know, it doesn't matter who you play in this league, they're going to be tough games. There's nobody going to roll over for you and just go, there you go, guys, just have a couple of freebies for us. And, you know, Sheffield, they're the best team I've seen this season. I thought they were excellent when they came over to Belfast there 2 weeks ago. You know, they're strong defensively. You know, Pence had did very well, and then you've got the kid with the curly hair, Brad Day, who keeps on coming in and doing a job, and they keep on trying to find somebody to replace him. And I just think you should give the kid a chance and let him play. But it's going to be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult indeed. I would love to get the 2 points out of the game. And again, it just depends on if you can keep on building the momentum, get an early goal. Aaron touched on it there against Nottingham on Saturday, Sunday night. You know, if you can get an early goal and just try and stay disciplined, that's been our Achilles heel this year, just staying, keeping out of the penalty box. 5-on-5, we're a match for anybody in this league. But defensively, we just need to be, play it smart, keep it simple, and take your chances when you get them.
I mean, I asked you the question, Davey, about the key to unlocking the Nottingham Panthers. I mean, I guess it's another difficult one. How do you unlock the Steelers right now?
It's keeping Mosienko and Wah quiet. It's having that D-man. It's getting the right matchups on the ice at the right time, getting the right line combinations against their, you know, getting our shutdown D-man out against the likes of Wah, keeping him away from Murphy, keeping him away from the blue paint, and not giving him those in-tight. He's a beast. He's a very, very, you know, he's a talented hockey player. There's no doubt about that. But you have to be willing to sacrifice your body in this sport at that level. And there wasn't enough of that, especially those two Sheffield games a couple of weeks ago. We didn't keep Wah and Mosienko quiet enough. There are two guys we'll have to focus down on. They've got talent all over the ice. You know, they're a stacked hockey club, and they've got good goaltending at times. You know, whether they've got somebody in or whether they go with Brad Day, it makes no difference. The kid's got talent. He's got good numbers. They'll play a tight defensive system around him and stop us getting in. You know, as Simon says, we'll concentrate on Fife, but we can talk about these games because we're not really involved in them. You know, we have to be hard on their D, we have to be hard on their goaltenders, and we have to just take a bit like Nottingham. We have to take opportunities when they come along. We have to be more clinical in front of net. It's just, but let's, you know, I can't honestly look, you know, 7 days down the line, all I'm worried about at the minute is Fife at the weekend.
And on 3 big games before the next podcast, is it 6 points or bust for the Belfast Giants?
I think it's pretty close to that as far as any league title aspirations are concerned. You know, we're getting down to sort of the last 18, 20 games of the season, depending on how many some teams have played more than others. But, you know, I think at this stage we pretty much need to aim to win every game from now on to keep it in our own hands.
Well, 3 huge, huge games for the Belfast Giants. A trip to Fife and Nottingham and Sheffield Steelers at home. Tickets available on the usual websites and via the usual box offices. And both games will be live on Giants Live. No Simon Kitchen, though. We've mentioned it a few times. He's off to bronze himself. Simon, who's standing in? Who can possibly stand in for you while you're away?
Matt Mickerson. I thought he did a great job on Saturday night, and then he was in the... He came up to the media suite at about 6:30 last night and was sort of hanging about and going, is Johnny coming tonight? And I went, yeah, he is. He, oh, all right, okay. I said, why don't you just come on with us? He went, okay. So, he was ready to jump in and help out wherever required. But the play-by-play will be called by Nigel Ringland. There'll be a bit of help in there from Shane Johnson and possibly Matt Nickerson.
Excellent stuff. So Giants Live, if you can't make the games, remember the games are not available on Periscope. So a big thank you to David Majimsi for your time and for doing the intro and also for all the editing that you'll be doing for the next probably 3 or 4 hours, mate.
Yes, probably will be a few hours tonight. I've got 22 edits so far noted there, so it'll take a bit of time.
Excellent. Big thank you to Simon, and we look forward to the duty free you bring back for us, mate.
Yeah, well, see what we can do for you, Hitchy.
Excellent stuff. Periscope on the beach, I hope. And finally, thank you and welcome back, Aaron Kerner.
Thank you very much, guys. As I say, it's absolutely wonderful to be home.
Next week, Patrick will be back. He's hopefully going to be over the jet lag and he'll be back in the saddle after the games against Fife, Nottingham and Sheffield. It is another big weekend. I guess every weekend's a big weekend at the moment. But tune in next Wednesday. Well, next Thursday, the record next Wednesday. You know what I'm trying to say. Have a great week. I've really enjoyed being here with you. I'll probably be a guest next week because they're playing Sheffield and I'm back in that mode. Just have a great week. Goodbye.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
There we have it. As we said, the game's this weekend, 7:15 on Saturday in the KIA against Fife. Keep an eye out for webcast details. If there's going to be one available, we'll let you know. Sunday afternoon, back in the SSE for the Panthers game. Face off at 5 p.m. If you absolutely can't get to the SSE, you can catch it on Belfast Giants TV. Early bird offers will be available. Keep an eye on Twitter. Then Tuesday, 7 p.m. for the rearranged Steelers game. Get yourself down to Boomerang Corner and go crazy, crazy, crazy. Thanks to Sizz, the Arn, and of course to Hitchy. Look forward to welcoming Paddy back, but until then, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge.
Hitsy forgot. Or sorry, Hitsy forgot to say to you, thanks very much for announcing your man, Keeney, but it's a bit big.
What, in the crotch area?